Let's just pray. Father, thank you for the time together this morning. Our eyes upon you, our hearts are open. Lord, we just want you to speak to us. Lord, we're open to your Holy Spirit to take your word and quicken it to our hearts. We thank you for the partnership of your word and your spirit that works mightily in our lives, that strengthens our lives, that brings life to us. God, I pray that you would be at work this morning, that you'd take your word. Lord, you'd make it relevant. Lord, you would just apply it. You would just quicken it, Lord. You'd make it like a rhema word. You'd make it like, Lord, something that is that Lord is useful in our daily lives. Lord, may we leave here just sensing that we are better equipped, that you've spoken to us, that Lord, you know where we're at, and that Lord, you've spoken to us each one individually where we're at in our journey. So Lord, I thank you this morning. Thank you for the power of prayer. I thank you for the way that we can do life with you, Lord, that we can just walk with you and just, Lord, listen to you and speak to you and be led by your Spirit. We thank you that mature sons are ones that are led by your Spirit. God, we thank you. Lord, put your anointing, put your touch. Lord, let this be a special time together. Let our hearts be responsive to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, everyone. You can be seated. We already are, most of you. That's good. I want to share on the theme of prayer this morning. I know that Jeremy spoke last week, and I didn't have a chance to listen to his message and to know what he shared. So I guess there's two things that could happen today. It could be exactly the same message, which would be the Holy Spirit, wouldn't it? Maybe. But anyway, I know that as we share, I know that God is wanting to release within us a heart of prayer. And you know, we met as a leadership team in January for a few days, and obviously when we're in that time, we're prayerful, we're talking together and sharing together and just wanting to know the mind of God. We want to know, Lord, what is it that you want for us as a church? And it's not like every January we start fresh. Like, we know where we're going as a church. We know, you know, there are things that are always core values for us, things that are always important to us, things that always influence and are woven through the way that we do life and do church together. And so it's not like suddenly you say, well, what's it this year? You know, it's not like that at all. But it's like, you know, here we are on a journey together, but what are the things that you want to really emphasize? What are the things that you want to make alive to us? And we felt as we gathered together, there were a few things that really God was speaking to us about, and as we shared together, we found there was really common thought, because God had been working in all our hearts and speaking to us in different ways, but yet about some of the same things. So we look for where is that common ground, where is that congruence that God is, you know, that has the fingerprint of God upon it for us as a church. And one of the things that really came through was to just allow God to move in a greater realm in prayer in our midst. And you know, the response to that, you know, could be, well, let's have some more programs about prayer and let's do this and that. But really, you know how prayer works over the years. You know, there've kind of been seasons of prayer. The prayer has been consistent, where we've had different times where we gather to pray, and sometimes it's just a few, and other times there seems to be a groundswell and a greater number of people gather to pray. And it's interesting. I don't know why that always is, you know, why it's certain seasons, but there is those seasons. You know that, like in life, in reality, you can't be like on the boil every moment. Is that right? Like on everything. But it's good to be passionate all the time. It's not like you sort of get, like, I think we shouldn't think that we're going to go well and then plateau and then go well, or that our journey will be like this. But I think we should look for a steady increase in growth. But it's like there are areas in our life that God works on in a seasonal way. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is that right? Because you can't just always be totally 100% focused and passionate about one thing all the time. That's just not the way we are. I've often said, even with communion, you know, one of the things about the way that Jesus ordained us to break bread together and take communion together on a regular basis, it's one of those indicators. There are many, but it's one of the indicators that shows me that God understands what we're like, and Jesus understands what we're like. And I guess prompted by the Father, Jesus instituted the concept of communion. And when he had the Last Supper together, he said, I want you to continue to break bread and take take wine together, take the cup together, and do it in remembrance of me. And when I think about that and read that, what I think is that God is very realistic. He understands our humanity. And he knows that through the period from when Jesus ascended to when his promised return comes, you know, we are functioning as his church and we're living as spirit-filled believers. We have everything we need. We have his word. We have his spirit. We have fellowship with one another. All those things he ordained for us. And why he did that was because he knows that in our humanity, you know, we can't run alone. In our humanity, we need to be reminded about things so we can stay passionate. And communion is one of those things that when we get together each week or on a regular basis, we break bread and we take communion and we focus on different aspects of what Jesus has done for us on the cross because we want it to stay fresh. We want to stay passionate about it. Is that right? And when we remind each other, when we encourage each other, in so many ways we do that. As family, we do that. As friends and brothers and sisters, we do that. We just encourage each other and stir each other. I mean, that's the way it's meant to work. Because we're in our humanity, you know, we're vessels that need to be filled and we need to be refreshed and we need to be encouraged and we need to be stirred. And I know sometimes that, you know, it kind of goes to the extremes where, where it becomes a bit of like, it becomes almost like shallow, rah-rah type stuff, you know, like, you know, the pep talk type thing. But, you know, but I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the way that we genuinely cheer each other on and run well because we're encouraging each other. It's beautiful, isn't it, in Hebrews where the chapter about all the heroes of faith. And then it says, you know, to run well because all the heroes of faith who've gone before us, you know, they're cheering us on as we run our race. We even know that when we were young, you know, that just to have family or have people that were encouraging us to keep going in, if we were running a race or playing a game of footy or whatever we were doing, you get a bit tired. And when there's people cheering you on and encouraging you, you've got the strength to keep going. You know, when you're running running or doing exercise of some kind, when you've got others that are doing it with you or running with you, you know, when you get the stitch, and you keep on going because you're running together. There's so many analogies we could use about the benefit of running together and doing things together. And so, anyway, God understands us and he knows that there are seasons and there are, you know, different times when we need to focus on different things and allow things to be fresh in our life. And I just feel in these coming months and through this year, prayer is always important, but I feel that there's going to be a groundswell of prayer. And again, we could say, well, let's have more prayer programs and whatever else. There's already opportunities to pray, and we'll talk about those. But some time ago, I just want to introduce, and then I'll get on with it. But some time ago, and I can't remember exactly how long, but there was a time where we felt for Thursday nights that we would just gather together. You try and find what's the best time in everybody's busy program. So I think we might have made it something like 5:30 to 6:30 or thereabouts. 6 to 7 it might have been, I don't remember exactly, but we just said, let's gather together for a period of time, and let's come, you know, after work, and you still get to go home and have dinner and be with the family, you don't lose a whole night, and so we tried to work out when's the best time. And I know that was a time where 20, 30, maybe a few more, you know, at different times, we're gathering together to pray. And then after a while, it sort of, you know, dropped down to a few, and we just thought, well, the season of that was over, and, you know, and whatever. So programming is part of it, but it's like there's a groundswell. It's like something happens inside of people and they feel compelled to pray. So if I could just ask you this, if I could just say, be really open to the Lord, just stir in your heart afresh in this area of prayer. As we talk about it and minister about prayer, let your heart just, you know, resonate, you know, not say, oh, well, I'm feeling a bit guilty about not praying them as much or whatever else, but let it really stir in your heart and let it resonate and let the Holy Spirit just stir something, because when he stirs it, like if I stir it with all, you know, with all my compelling words, well, it's either going to have two effects. One, you won't like it because you think I'm trying to compel you to do something you don't want to do, or whatever. It'll just be my clever words. But it's not about that, is it? It's about the Holy Spirit just stirring something, because when he stirs it, then it's a good thing, isn't it? Do you know what I'm talking about? And so I guess I'm just sensing that God wants to, and he's positioning. So it's not like we're preaching to stir us to pray, but I think what's happening is God is moving in people's hearts to come into a fresh season of prayer. And so we're preaching into that. That's how I would see it. So, Lord, you've prompted us to preach into that because that's what you're doing in people's hearts. And maybe some haven't thought of that and it'll spark something, or some have been thinking about it and will really water that. And so there'll be an area of growth and stimulation in this area of prayer. And again, it's such a big topic. You think, well, where do I start? So today what I want to do is just share on one little passage from Paul to Timothy. And particularly, I want to read it in the Amplified because it defines, among other things, it defines four areas of prayer, four expressions of prayer. And so I just want to chat through each of these, and I think it will be helpful for us this morning. Alrighty, so 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4 in the Amplified Bible. And it just says this. First of all, then, I urge. Now, again, I won't take too long and break down every sentence. But when Paul wrote his letters, there were two times that I think he particularly gets our attention. One of the times is when he says, first of all, or most importantly, you know. And then the other time is often in his letters he says, and finally. So what he's doing is he's saying, you know, this is an important last statement, because the last thing he wants to say in his letter is always going to be something that is really important. So while all of it's important and gets our attention, when he says firstly or first of all, or where he says finally, then it's actually something that we should pay particular attention to. So here he says, first of all then I urge that petitions, this is the Amplified, so there's going to be a few bracketed bits. I urge that petitions, specific requests, prayers, no real explanation there, intercessions, that is prayers for others, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all people. Now, it goes on to talk about kings, etc., but really the important sentence there is all people. So we will read on and we'll see where he says, pray for those in authority, and that's probably pretty timely, isn't it, at the moment, as we've just completed a state election. And so whatever your view of each party or each politician or whatever, you know that we're encouraged to pray for our leaders and those who have authority in different areas of our life. You know, our national parliament, our state, our local leaders, our church, people who have responsibility in leading within church environments, etc. You know, family leaders. You could whatever area. We're encouraged to pray for those who watch out for us, or those who have responsibility, or those who make decisions that affect our life and affect our nation. And so, but these four areas of prayer are what I want to come back to and talk about more than anything. So, it talks about petitions, specific requests, about prayers, about intercessions, prayers for others, and thanksgivings being offered on behalf of all people. And then he goes on to say, for all people, but including, and a special focus in this particular passage on kings and all who are in positions of high authority. For what reason? That we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And then it says this, this is put beautifully in the Amplified, it says, this kind of praying, the types of prayer and the focused prayer and prayer that's motivated so that for a good outcome, it says this kind of praying is good and acceptable and pleasing in the sight of God our Saviour, who wishes all people to be saved and come to the knowledge and recognition of the divine truth. Isn't that a good outcome? Isn't that a good reason to pray? But also it's saying that this kind of praying is good and acceptable. So we'll take a look at this type of praying and these different areas of prayer this morning. And so the first one that he talks about is petitions. And you know, there's a lot we could say on each one of these, but my intention is just to sow a seed, just to open it up a little bit and then let you think about it a bit more, and maybe we'll revisit it another time. But petitions, like specific requests. You know, this is an important part of praying, and it's possibly the most familiar kind of prayer that we're used to. Asking God And I've just made a very brief list here, but you could add to this list. But you know, we ask for provision at specific times for specific needs. That's one of the things that we often find ourselves doing in our life, in our family, as a church or whatever, for wisdom and guidance. You know, James chapter 1 is a beautiful passage, and I'm not going to turn to it, but just making a reference to it, that he says, you know, if you need wisdom, you know, if you lack wisdom or if you need wisdom, then he says, ask, who will give to you liberally. And you've heard us preach about this verse, but it sort of says the only condition is that when you ask, be ready to do what I tell you. Because if you're ready to do what I tell you, then I will give you an answer, you know? And he knows our hearts, doesn't he? I think sometimes, we've talked about this before, but sometimes we say, Lord, guide me. Lord, give me wisdom. God, lead me in this situation. Show me where I'm to go, what I'm to do. But we know that the posture of our hearts and maybe the posture of our spiritual ear is, well, tell me, Lord, give me wisdom, and I'll see if I like it. I'll see if it kind of fits me. I'll see if it sounds like what I want to hear. Perhaps not as quite as, you know, improper as that. It might be, well, Lord, I really want to do what you want, but I'm just holding my judgment as to what I'm going to do with it. And he knows that posture of our heart. But, you know, when he sees our heart is out of relationship and out of trust, that we're saying to him, Lord, show me, give me wisdom, and there's a readiness to do whatever he wants to lead us in, whatever wisdom he wants to give us, because we trust his wisdom. I tell you, that is when you have that posture, when you come to that place, when your life is not your own, when you just say, you know what, I totally feel safe with you, I trust you, I know that your intention is always good for me. And that's why it's so important to settle those kinds of thoughts. And we often talk about them and preach about them. Because when you come to that place, what happens is then you're able to say, Lord, what do you want? Lord, what's your way? Show me, lead me. Lord, I want your wisdom. And he says, when you ask him for wisdom with that posture, he says, and he will do abundantly. He'll give you wisdom abundantly. He'll give you clarity. He'll lead you forward. But he says, please, you can't be double-minded. You've got to be ready to trust me. You've got to be ready to do what I say. And then I will tell you which way to go. We were travelling up to Queensland we just had a pastors and leaders and spouse retreat up in Karoi, which is near Noosa, a church that's connected with us recently, and we thought it'd be a nice place to go because some guys come down from Cairns and some come from all over New South, and so we thought it would be good to head up and have our gathering there. And so we had over 50 leaders gathered together, and it was a really great time. And I just want to sort of divert for a fraction of a second and say, Kerry, help me pull that together. We planned it and have some responsibility in making that happen. And so Kerry has been helping me over the last number of months and did an amazing job. So they all say thank you, Kerry. I think many of them sent you messages, but thank you for that. Because it was a big responsibility, and it went really beautifully, and everyone was so grateful, and I had to keep pointing to Kerry and say it wouldn't have happened without Kerry's help. So thanks, Kez, for that. You did a great job. But we travelled up, and on the way we felt to travel up in a little bus with a few people, and we felt I know God was just sort of prompting us to pray in a few towns, particularly in the northern part of New South Wales. And so we stopped and went to tourist centres or signs, you know, of the towns. And we just spent some time praying and letting the Lord just give us prophetic words over those towns, and wrote some things down, the group of us that were travelling together. So I wanted to sort of mention that to you, but also what I wanted to say was that at one point, you know, I was on the GPS, you know, saying turn here and turn there, and I know that I might have given them a wrong direction one time, and so we kind of went down a wrong street and had to turn around and come back. So for the next sort of, I don't know, the next few hours, it was like I would say which way to go, but then they'd say, Justin, is that correct? Is that right? And doesn't that rob your confidence a bit? You know, like, so I'm kind of thinking in a kind of strange sort of way that it's a bit like that for God sometimes. We say, Lord, which way do we go? Well, hang on a sec, I might just double check on that, you know, after God has guided us or led us in a certain way. And so I'm not likening my GPS instructions to God in any way at all, because I do make mistakes. And so I didn't mind. I could then blame Justin if we did go wrong. So that was quite a good little thing. But, you know, you have this sense of, well, they ask, but then they're not sure if they trust the answer that you give. And so then they want to get a second opinion. Now, there's some areas, medical and otherwise, where I would say that's a great thing to do. It's a good thing to do. But in regard to God and His wisdom and His guidance in our life, then we're asking Him, we're petitioning Him for an answer. And whether it's wisdom or whatever it might be, that we trust Him. He says, just trust me, because I have your interest at heart. The other areas of asking are healing for ourselves, strength, and we could go on, couldn't we, and make a great big list. I want to read from Colossians chapter 1, because Paul gave us a really great example of the way that we can ask. And I just think this is very inspiring, so I'll give it to you as an example. So petitioning, specific requests. You know, we might pray for certain people all the time. We might pray for certain things all the time. But these petitions are when we come and we ask God because we know we need an answer. We know we need a provision. We know we need health. We know we need a miracle. We know we need a supernatural touch. Now, this is an area where I've said to you before as well that, you know, it's a good indicator of how much we are dependent upon God. It's always one of those things that's hard to know, isn't it? I think I'm dependent upon God, but I'm not sure, you know, how I would measure that. And you think of different scenarios and wonder how you would respond in different scenarios. Well, one of the measures of what degree of dependence upon God we are living with is really how quick we are to call on Him in the situations of our day-to-day life. And I know there are times where I will just take it into my own hands and I'll get all anxious about it and I'll try to work it out and I'll do this and then suddenly I have this realization and I look at myself and I don't beat myself up but I get a bit disappointed and think, why did I try to do all that myself when I know better? I know that, you know, why wasn't I quicker just to say, Lord, I need you in this situation. God, I'm not handling this well at all. God, I'm not sure which way to go. I'm really out of my depth. This is above what I know what to do. And I'm embarrassed sometimes, not in a, you know, like beat myself up type way, but sometimes I talk to myself and say, you're just silly. Why did you try and do all that yourself when you could have, much earlier than this, you know, asked the Lord to come and to help you in that situation? And so it's a measure of the degree of dependence and faith that we're living time. And you know, again, we go through seasons, don't we? Sometimes we're just very quick. We as soon as we're in a situation, you know what, we just got to pray about this. And we look and say, oh, I'm just really pleased with how quickly I'm prompted, how quickly my automatic response or my, you know, my heart response is to say, I need you, Lord. I need you in this situation. Please help me. And not beat yourself up, but don't you think pretty deeply about the times when you just struggle on, and then you call out to God and He gives you a quick answer. He doesn't always give quick answers, I know, but when He does give a quick answer and whatever, and you think, why didn't I do that a long time ago? Why didn't I just call out to Him a long time ago? So anyway, this is a beautiful passage of Paul, and it's a great way of praying for one another. It's a great way of praying and asking for certain things in your life and in the life of those who are dear to you. This would be a great way for parents to pray for your children. This is a great way for us to pray for our brothers and sisters and ask for certain things for them. So this is what Paul says in Colossians 1. It's verse 3 and then verse 9 to 11 from the New Living Translation. He says, we always pray for you and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. You know, specific asking. We ask to give you knowledge, complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. How good is that? All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all His glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy always, thanking the Father. And contained in there is the petitioning and the thanking as well, which we'll come to a bit later. There's a real mixture, but asking, really asking specifically. And I'd say to your parents, you know, many of you pray and you pray and you pray, but don't give up praying specifically for your children, younger and older children. You know, church members, community members of Naranda, pray for your community, pray for your neighbour, pray specifically. Pray for your workmates and pray specifically. Pray for your church family, your brothers and sisters. We'd really appreciate it if you pray for your leaders and your pastors, you know, as they do what they do. And, you know, and this is a great way to pray. Paul gives us a great example to pray. Pray for these things to outwork. And again, we won't turn to it today, but Ephesians 1 is another one, isn't it? It's quite famous, quite well known, Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1, where he just prays for the church and prays for his brothers and sisters that they will have revelation and certain things that they would experience and that God would give them and show them. So that's our petitions. As we came in today, we were talking about how beautiful the rain was. And Mick said to me, he said, we need to pray for some more rain. And what I plan to do as we go through these areas is pray for a couple of areas that I'll share with you that really we need to pray about together, and could have announced it at the beginning, but thought, why don't we just pray as we get to different points in our message? So wouldn't it be good right now just to pray for some more rain to come, and to pray for, like we could pray a lot about different things, but when Mick said that, I said, you know what, let's pray together for rain. You know, many have been, and we've been maybe thinking about how we'd love more rain, but not praying maybe. I'm not sure. We're in all different places, I suppose, in our journey. But why don't we do that? So let's just stop and pray for rain right now. Father, we thank you for the rain that we've had. We look back and we see, Lord, the dryness and the barrenness in the land. Lord, we don't understand that because we just love it to just rain perfectly every season and every day. But God, we just know that you're in control and we know that you have it in hand. But we also know that we can cry out to you and we can ask you. And we ask you, Lord, we ask for a good rain. We ask for a drought-breaking rain to come and to fall upon our land. We pray for a few inches to come, Lord, over a few days. That, Lord, there would just be, Lord, a refreshing of the land. Lord, there'd be food for our stock. There would be crops that could be harvested and that our economy would be improved. But, Lord, also that just families would be encouraged, farming families and our community, Lord, that is so affected by what happens in our farming community. Lord, that we would just be encouraged, that, Lord, there would just be a lifting and a positive sense of Lord, of the future that we have. And so, Father, I thank you today that you hear our prayer. I thank you that we can come and we can ask and we petition of you. And so we ask, Lord, for rain to come. Thank you, Lord. And I'll just give us a minute, just quietly, just as I'm talking, you might be thinking, yeah, there's just one thing I'd like to pray for somebody. If you think of everything, I'll probably interrupt you in a minute, but just think of one thing that you just think, you know what, I've not really asked about that. Or yes, I've been asking, and maybe I've given up, but I want to keep asking. Just let one thing come into your mind. You can continue it later, and I'm hoping that over the coming days you'll practice this more and more if you're not already. But why don't you just now take a moment and just ask for something. Just privately, quietly ask for something of the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord, that you hear those prayers as we ask boldly. Continue to stir our hearts to reach out and to ask without wavering. Amen. The second thing is the word is just word prayers, and there's not much definition given in this amplified verse or passage that I read out. But I'd like to just put my own, I guess, clarification on what I think prayers are in the context. So the four things we're going to look at are petitions and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving. So prayers fits in there. And I've just written down prayers is, it's a communication, it's the relationship, it's the talking and the listening. So petition is, yes, we have this need and I want to ask for it. You know, Sandra and I, we live in the same house and we're not always sitting down and having intense and deliberate conversation. You know, I'm not always asking her for something, although I often am. She's not always asking me for something, although she often is. But I didn't mean to hesitate there. But yeah, so we often ask of each other different things. But you know, we're not always asking. We're not always having deliberate, intense conversation. But we live in the home and we're interacting and we're talking and we're listening. You know, that kind of relationship where we communicate and know each other's hearts. And I think there's an element of prayer, a beautiful element of prayer, that isn't just about asking. And it's not even really about giving thanks, although there's an overlap, isn't there, in all these things. But it's just that time that we take to draw aside. It's that time that we take to tell him what we're feeling. We're not even really asking for anything, but we're just letting him know how we feel. Like you would with a good friend. like you would with a close friend. Sometimes we see in Scripture some of the really significant characters of the Bible in those conversations, they're telling God how frustrated they are with the situation they're in. And I think sometimes that's even healthy, isn't it? That's really good. It's where that conversation ends that's always important. You know, the psalmist, he was the best at it. He would be saying, you know, why do my enemies seem to prosper more than me? Why do, you know, I do everything right and other people who do wicked things seem to be better off than me and they seem to get what they want and I never get what I want. And he's having a real gripe about lots of things. You know, how come, you know, you feel so distant? How come, you know, it's all these things he talks about. And he just says really honestly, he's pouring out his heart and he's just saying, this is how I feel. He's not even really asking for anything. But you know, usually you'll find in those passages, as you read it through, what happens is he comes to this point and he starts to just declare praise. He starts to say, but God, you are my fortress. God, you are my refuge. God, you are faithful. So when he's just had a big whinge about, you know, how far away God feels and why everybody else seems better off than him, isn't it hard sometimes, isn't it an act of faith then to declare, but Lord, I know this truth about you. I know that you're faithful. I know that you're good. I know that you have my interest at heart. I know you're my protector. I know you're my strong tower. I know that you lift up my feet, you know, like above the feet of my enemies. And so he begins to talk that way as well. And so he has an honest conversation with the Father, but then he says, but I know this is true. And he rises up and begins to declare some stuff. And then what happens too often when he's listening, you know, he's talking and he's saying, and then God speaks back. And God doesn't say, well, you know, hey, you shouldn't talk like that. But what happens in those situations is God often will just speak back, won't he, to our heart with a word of encouragement, a word of strength. He might just bring to remembrance, as the Holy Spirit does, a thought, a scripture that we've learnt, and it just comes into our mind and it's helpful. Or we might, within the next few hours, bump into one of our brothers and sisters or someone in our family who loves us enough and is, you know, maybe not even knowingly, but they're sensitive to the Spirit and they begin to share with us and tell us something that speaks into our situation and encourages us. Because God answers when we're listening. And so it's that kind of a conversation. And again, I'm just briefly talking about each one because this is a big one as well, isn't it? I want to just read a scripture from Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. Again, so many on this, but I thought this is the one that I feel just says what I'm, you know, wanting to convey about this kind of prayer this morning. The talking and the listening prayer. You know, the prayer where we're not particularly necessarily asking for something, but we're having dialogue where we're allowing God just to lead us and to speak to us. Again, I think a lot of wisdom comes this way too. So wisdom, as I said in the last point, says, you know, we ask for wisdom. Lord, I need to know how to deal with this situation. I need to know what decision to make. But then there's other times where we're just saying, I'm prayerfully thinking and just communing and talking with him, and then suddenly into our heart comes a thought or a direction about somewhere where God is taking us in our life and in our journey. And so the talking and listening prayer, Luke 5:16, very simple verse. In the New King James it says, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. When you look at the context, you see that the crowds are gathering. He's busy doing ministry and there's still people waiting to receive ministry and healing from him. And it says in that context what he does is, I'm sure he's not rude about it, but what he does is he just says, I've got to just withdraw away. I've got to go to a place and it says often, and it talks about withdrawing, and it talks about a place that, you know, wilderness doesn't necessarily mean like a desert, but it means just where there's no distraction, where there's I can just be able to just take time and give priority to his Father. The Passion Translation says this, Jesus often slipped away from them and went into the wilderness to pray. Don't you like that? You know, an aspect of this prayer, I think, is meditation prayer. Some forms of meditation that, as Christians, we get a bit scared about, you know, or we kind of feel like, oh, that's not right. But there's forms of meditation that talk about emptying your mind and whatever. There's so many different forms, but you know, there are some that what they're all about is just emptying your mind and really handing over to whatever, it can be all sorts of things, but to whatever other source of information or wisdom or peace or whatever it might be. Well, you know, there's a form of meditation, isn't there, that's a beautiful form of meditation that is just taking time to allow God to speak to you, and I think it's a form of prayer, prayerful meditation. But you know, the difference between meditation that empties your mind And what I believe is really godly meditation is that godly meditation is when we allow God to fill our mind. Is that right? So we're allowing God to displace, you know, our own struggles or our own anxieties or our own cluttered mind with His own mind. So we're not emptying as such. What we're doing is we're displacing, we're filling with what He has for us. Often use this analogy, but you know, the old radiator in the old cars in the olden days, you know, where you used to take the radiator cap off, and every now and again at the farm we'd stick the hose in the radiator and go off and do something for 5 minutes because all the rusty water would flush out, and then when we come back it's a bit cleaner, and when it looks clean enough then you just take the hose out and put the cap back on because you've kind of flushed the radiator out. And there is that sense of just talking and listening and spending time with God, and what He's doing is He's flushing the radiator of our mind. So I'm not emptying my mind. It's not meditation where I'm emptying my mind and even in different ways handing over the influence and the control of my life and my thoughts to some unknown thing. But what I want to do is I want God to fill my thoughts. I want God to flood my thoughts. I want God to direct my thoughts. And so sometimes I need to just get myself in a space where my own thoughts can kind of be processed or be released, and that God fills me with His thoughts. You know, someone who I think shared about this beautifully, and some of you will remember this, I'm sure, when Tony Smits was in one of our summer Bible schools, and Tony Smits was talking about prayer, and one of the things I really remember really distinctly that he said, and I've practiced this a lot since he said that, is that he says you go out to a quiet place, and so for me, I'll go out and park by the river, and what he said is carry a little pad or a piece of paper with you. Because you know what happens when you get out to some quiet place, wherever it might be, in your lounge room or, you know, wherever it is, in the car or whatever, when you're in that quiet place, you know, where you're just taking some time to withdraw and to really let your mind be filled with God's thoughts, what happens is immediately you remember all the 10 things that you haven't done that you're supposed to do. Is anyone like me? And so what he said to me, oh, I used to do that, I'd get out there and I'd think, oh, I've got to do that. So then I think, oh, I'll send that message. Yeah, I'll just do that and then I can concentrate. Ah, oh, we've got to do this. And you know what, anyone, am I talking to the right people? Is it right? So what he said was, he said he takes a piece of paper and he'd think, ah, oh, yeah, that's right. I had to write a letter for Ian. He'd asked me to send a message about something. Oh, yeah, so I'll write it on the bit of paper and then I can put it aside. And what would happen, I know back then what would happen is, 10 or more things would just come into your mind. I'd say, I'm writing them down, write them down. And it's almost like I'm emptying my mind of all the things that I'm storing away there that I need to remember and think of. You write them on the paper. And it was just amazing, simple principle, but it just brought release then to say, you know what, I'll attend to them later. But I haven't forgotten them. They're there. I don't have to hold them in my mind. I've written them down now. They're good. They're safe. I'll do them. But then what I'm doing now is I'm just taking time. And I'm just letting God fill my mind. Creative thoughts or, you know, just whatever, just refreshing thoughts. Did anyone remember Tony talking about that and just how helpful that was? A few nods in the room. So that's prayer, communication, relationship, talking and listening, just taking time, drawing aside. And, you know, I guess I use this verse partly because isn't it so typical of how we find ourselves sometimes? Like, oh, well, there's never a right moment to draw aside. There's always so many important things to do. And I get that. And sometimes they are important. Like, you know, sometimes you don't stand up the boss because I just went out to the river to pray. You know, you're supposed to be at work, well, you have to go to work, don't you? But there are always priorities that we can adjust. I'm thinking if this is really important to us. Is that okay to say that to you? So the first one was petition, those specific requests. You know, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So ask boldly, step out in faith, dare to ask Him. We have not because we ask not. So dare to ask. It's a really important thing. The third one is intercession. Sorry, just to come back to that last one, I wanted to give a practical example of each one. It's interesting, but I suppose this lets me make an announcement as well as tell you at the same time. But this is our 50th anniversary as a church. Jeremy mentioned that just briefly the other day. And so the church started in 1969, and so this year is our 50th anniversary. So again, as a leadership team, we thought, wouldn't it be great to do something together and to celebrate our 50th anniversary? 10 years ago, it seems like about a year ago, but 10 years ago we had our 40th, and we worked Mari to death in chasing down everybody we could think of from our past 40 years. I think we did that item where we did two lines of every song for the the last 40 years pretty well. It was a bit of but it was really inspirational and all that. So we were looking back and we honoured our previous pastors, which was a good thing to do, which was basically Chaz and Malcolm, others on the team, but they were our two senior pastors over all those years. And then what we did was we honoured them. And so I thought, look, you know what, we've honoured the past and that's important. And obviously being 50 years, we're thinking of the past a little. But I said to our team, and they really resonated with this, how about we celebrate our future? How about we celebrate with people who are part of our future? So anyone from our past is welcome, but we're not writing to 1,000 people. Are you glad about that, Murray? We're not writing to everybody and inviting them to come back and chasing them all up. We're just inviting people who are in our present. So I've done two things. I've shared it with most of our pastors in the region. The guys from Orange are keen to come, and we're going to, you know, more formally invite them. But we've told them keep the day free. The weekend of September 13th, it's a Friday, 13th, 14th, and 15th. That weekend we're going to celebrate our 50th. And we're saying, let's celebrate the future. Let's invite the churches in the region and the churches in our community that are part of our present. And then we've said, you know what? The community is part of our present too. Because it's not all just about churches, the community is part of our present. So we've approached the council to close the street and have a big street party and celebrate. And it looks like that's all going to be possible. We haven't got the final tick yet, but we're working towards that. So we had to sort of start that process 6 months ahead, and we're doing that. So we're hoping to close the street and have a great time together. On the Friday night, we'll just have a beautiful time with all the churches in our region and beyond who want to come and be part of a Friday night time together. And then on the Saturday afternoon, we're going to have our street party, and Saturday night we're going to have a celebration and really invite our community to come. Wouldn't it be great to fill the place up? And our guest speaker is a guy, this is probably where I was saying, you know, we said let's invite somebody, and we thought about what we wanted to do for the weekend. And the guys just left it with me to prayerfully consider who we might want to invite. And I was sort of thinking who, and lots of different names were going through my mind. And then the thought came to me, a guy called Dan Hagen, who we know. He actually was one of the guys who organised the Awakening Australia in Melbourne that some of us went to. And so I sent him a message and said, Dan, this is the story, and just want to ask you if you'd come and join in our celebration for that weekend and be our guest speaker. He got back to me straight away and said, as soon as I get home, I'll check my diary. He got home to his diary and he said, he looked up his diary, he was free, and he began to pray into it and said something just stirred in his heart that was going to be just a really significant time and an exciting time for him to be part of. And so he said, yep, I'm in. Count me. I'll come and serve whatever you want me to do that weekend. And so Dan's coming and going to be here for that weekend. So letting you know that. But as I prayed into that, you know, I was just talking with the Lord and saying, Lord, who is it that you want? I said to the guys, I will prayerfully reflect. So I'm not, Lord, show me who it is, but I suppose as a part of that. But you're just thinking and reflecting, and then the idea and the thoughts come into your mind. You think, I think that's a God thing. So I shared it with the leaders and they said, yep, that's really good. That really sits with us. So let's go with that. Do you know what I mean? And so that's just an example of how we prayerfully, we're reflecting, we're thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And that sort of thing. And so there's that sense of prayer, communicating, talking, listening, being prayerful as we consider things in our life and in our journey. The third one is intercession, which again is pretty straightforward. It's prayers for others. And I just, there's an element of asking, but there's also this sense of a burdened heart. There's a sense of just sort of trying to put my own words to this and explain it. But I think, you know, our hearts get burdened for something. Our hearts get burdened for someone. Or our hearts get burdened for a city, you know, for a season. And there's that intercession prayer, that intercessory prayer, that intercession that rises up. And I've just put a few ways that can be expressed. One is, you know, sometimes you wake in the night. Or something comes to mind during the day and you just know, this is God just prompting me to pray. You know, so it's not just a good thought or not just someone who's on your prayer list every day, which is they're great things. But this is where God's just, he's putting his finger on something and he's stirring something in your heart. And he's saying, you got to pray for that town. You got to pray for your neighbor because, you know, this is a really critical time. You need to intercede. Sometimes it's prayer and it's fasting and it's being deliberate about pressing in, you know, in a specific way. But what I feel is the heart gets engaged. There's a burden in the heart for someone or for a city. So, you know, there are times where I've said, Lord, I invite you to wake me in the night. I've said that deliberately. I said, I invite you. I hope he doesn't do it too often when I say that. But I say, I invite you to wake me in the night. I invite you to put on my heart. you know, and I'll be really honest and say, like, even in terms of as a pastor of the church, you know, every day I wake up and I think I'd love to visit everybody, you know, and you feel a bit overwhelmed with how you just want to love people and care for people, and you know you can't do everything, and I know there are others that are doing that too, so you feel, well, that's not just my responsibility, it's something we all do together. But there are times where I just say, Lord, you know, I just ask you, I invite you, Lord, please, if there's someone who I just need to be aware of, if there's someone you need to bring to my attention, if there's someone where it's the right time for me just to take some time with them, then will you put it on my heart? Will you prompt me? Will you wake me in the night? Will you prompt me when I get up on a Monday morning? Will you just say to me, Lord, will you just prompt me and say, you got to catch up with that person. You got to ring that person. You got to text that person. Now, I'm sure I don't always get it right, and I'm sure I miss it, and I'm sure, you know, we get distracted with all sorts of things. But so many times, I would say weekly and almost daily, there are someone that God just prompts me for and says, just pop them a text, or you need to catch this person this week. And sometimes I'll try and it won't work or whatever, and I say, well, Lord, you've got to make it work at the right time. But, you know, I need that, and I guess we can all find ourselves in situations where we just need God to prompt us to put someone on our heart. We can't pray for everything all the time passionately, but what we can do is we can be obedient to the burdens that God puts on our heart for certain people. So we can wake in the night. People or places or events can come to our mind during the day, and we can just make sure we take a moment to stop and to pray for that. And we can have focused prayer and fasting for a person's healing or for someone's comfort or for breakthrough in an area or for support for a particular thing. Let me give you an example this morning. Hillary sent a message out. There's a few of us who have, when Rach was here last time, we said we'd like to put our name down to receive prayer requests for specific things that Rach might be needing prayer for, Rach Gilmore in China. And so Hillary agreed to coordinate that. So every now and again we get a message from Hillary, and if you're not on that and you'd like to be, then you just got to let Hillary know and she'll add you to that list. But Hillary gets a message from Rach and then she circulates it out to us and says, Rach has asked if we can pray. So here's one that we can all pray for. This is this morning, this came. Hillary says, morning saints, God bless Rach, she says. Because Rach is asking for prayer. God bless Rach. She has been asked to present a talk to over 100 people working in orphanages across China. Let's pray she will impart practical solutions, but also inspire, encourage, and share God's heart for them as laborers, but also reignites God's love within them to serve the children that they're working with. Amen. And then there's a few little pictures of hands praying and hands clapping and hands pointing, and it says, he slumbers not. Now, I'd imagine that Rach wrote most of that and Hillary added her touch to it. And so we're asked, can you guys really devote some time and focus some prayer? Let your heart be moved and pray for her. Father, we pray right now for Hillary. We pray for Hillary as she does her job. But we pray for Rach, Lord, that this request that she's asked for, that as she speaks to these 100 people that are working in orphanages across China, Lord, a place where many with disabilities are considered of less value or are not really cared for. Lord, I thank you for the love of Rach and so many people, Lord, who just are demonstrating love and who are being obedient to you and working, Lord, to show your love, to show, Lord, your reality to these families. So, Lord, we pray that as she shares with them, she'll impart, Lord, not only practical solutions, but also, Lord, that she'll inspire and encourage and bring God's heart to those who labour and those who work and those who serve and those who love and show love to these families. May there be much healing. May there be much encouragement that comes because of the words that she speaks. Give her confidence. Give her clarity as she shares in Jesus' name. The other ways that we can experience intercessory prayer is warfare prayer, just declaration, fighting for someone, fighting for a town or a nation. And there have just been times where, you know, I've been aware of a situation, and I've just wanted to walk up and down my lounge room, and I've wanted to fight, you know, a fight for somebody, and to just stand for somebody. And I know that you've all experienced that at different times. There's also that the empathy and the compassion that God puts on your heart for different situations. And some examples of that would be Christchurch recently. Wasn't that something that moved our hearts and touched us with the devastation in Christchurch? To share with you that Eileen Ray Amida has not been well. He's had cancer and been in hospital, and Eileen messaged me this morning. He passed away this morning at about, I think, about 7:30. And so I've been just sending a few messages backwards and forwards this morning, and they're doing okay. But I'd been visiting pretty well every day before I went away to Queensland, and messaged last night to see how things were going. And then this morning she mentioned that Ray had passed away. So we can pray for Eileen and for all the family. And so, again, just to let you know that, but also to ask you to pray and for us to pray. And then also, we had our pastor's retreat with our New South Wales ACT Queensland pastors. And one of our pastors on our state team, Kim Beaumont, her and her husband Steve, they're from the Albury Church but have been working over in the US doing some great work with the Bethel Church there. And their 21-year-old son, Cody, last Sunday was killed in an accident. And so we've been praying for her, and our heart's been moved for her, you know, sending messages and reaching out. And those things happen, don't they? But you know what happens? We don't stop and say, oh, well, isn't that, you know, and in a way be overwhelmed by that. But we can stop and let our hearts be touched, and we can say, right, I'm going to pray. I'm going to cover them. And that's intercessory prayer, isn't it? You're standing in the gap for someone who's facing a challenge. You're fighting for somebody who just needs a touch from God, needs comfort, needs whatever, you know, in their situation. And that's different to, there's an overlap, isn't there? But it's a bit different to the asking prayer. It's a bit different to the conversational prayer. And it's the intercessory prayer. And so, Father, we pray this morning. We pray for Eileen. And I'll just mention as I'm praying that I've had a great opportunity just to share some verses with Ray and pray with him, and he's assured me he just knows he's going to heaven, and he just felt peace within, and so that's the most important thing of all, isn't it? But Father, I thank you for the peace that you gave to Ray, and the hope and the assurance of heaven that you gave to him. Lord, I pray though that those who are around him, all his family and all the people, Lord, who are just impacted and touched by his passing, that, Lord, that you would just comfort, Lord. You comfort in a way that no one else can comfort. And I pray that you would comfort and you'd give hope to look beyond the present and to see, Lord, to see where you might just lead forward. So, Father, we ask for your hand to be there. For Kim and Steve, Lord, we just don't have no idea what that would be like for what they face, but you do. And, Lord, you already have comforted them to a great degree, and I pray that you would just walk them through and you'd fill them with your peace, Lord, a peace that passes understanding and rationale, and, Lord, that just would be a peace that would flood them and fill them. For the Christchurch situation and all other different things that we face, that we think, what's happening in our world, Lord, we know that we can cry out to you, and that, Lord, you're bigger than those situations, that, Lord, your heart is moved. You don't cause them, but, Lord, you are deeply interested in bringing comfort, peace and hope into those situations. We thank you for that, Lord. And we invite you, Lord, to wake us in the night. We invite you to move upon our hearts, Lord. We invite you to draw us into intercessory prayer, that, Lord, our hearts will just be moved for people and places and events and towns and cities and nations, Lord, that we can really, really pray effectively and release your powerful hand to do above what we can ask or think. We thank you in Jesus' name. And then the last one is thanksgiving, which I just want to bring out two aspects of that. One is there's thanksgiving after the answer, but there's thanksgiving in faith before the answer, isn't there? And we give a definition of thanksgiving as being it's thanking God for who he is, for what he's done. And based on those two things, we thank him for what he will do. Thanking him for who he is, what he's done. And based on those two things, thanking him for what he will do. I'm going to read two scriptures and then finish. If the musicians would just come, that'd be great. It says, don't worry, Philippians 4:6 in the New Living Translation, don't worry about anything. Instead, or don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. Isn't that a great, great verse? Hebrews 5 verse 7 in the Amplified, to finish with this, gives us the example of Jesus. In the days of his earthly life, Jesus offered up both specific petitions and urgent supplications for that which he needed, with fervent crying and tears to the one who was always able to save him, that is his Father, from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission towards God. I read that a bit awkwardly. I'll read it once more and then I'll hand over to the musos. Hebrews 5:7, the Amplified. In the days of his earthly life, Jesus offered up both specific petitions and urgent supplications for that which he needed, with fervent crying and tears to the one who was always able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission towards God. Father, I pray that you'd just continue to build what you've started. I believe that you're stirring our hearts for a season of prayer. Pray, Lord, that you would just take the words that were shared today and just bring clarity. But also, Lord, that you would water. Lord, that your word would water the desires in our heart to pray. That, Lord, our mind would be stretched beyond our own human limitations to understand a little more, or even to just dare to believe a little more, Lord, what you might do if we dare ask you. We know that miracles only happen when we are willing to step into a place where a miracle is needed. We know miracles only happen. You're only able to do miracles, Lord, when we trust you with the possibility of a miracle. When we reach out to you, Lord, with an open heart to receive above what we can control or ask or think. So, Lord, quicken your word to our hearts today. Speak to us, encourage us, refresh us. Lord, bring many amazing testimonies into our midst. Thank you for those we already see. Thank you for those we already can share about. Thank you for the things we already see day by day. But Lord, we're hungry for more. We're thirsty for more. Lord, stir our hearts to pray. Knit our hearts together that we can pray in agreement and oneness. Let us love each other to such an extent that we will be burdened for one another. We can intercede for one another. We can reach out to one another. So Lord, through love and dependence, Lord, our prayers will rise and we'll see amazing things happen in our own town, in our own families, in our own lives, in our own situations. And Lord, as the ripple goes out, our own communities and nations, Lord, wherever, we can see you do a mighty work. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.